At South by Southwest this year, tech experts talked a lot about artificial intelligence and the quest to create empathy. Empathy is a crucial human ability. It's the basis of the golden rule: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And yet, empathy is not all that well understood. Many people confuse empathy with sympathy, and those two are not the same. So, since this is a term that's used often but is misunderstood, it's time to break it down. Empathy is an ability. Even babies at 6 months old demonstrate empathy.
I love you, Lois. You know that, right? Just in case, I'll say it again. I love you.
Basically, it's the ability to identify what someone else is feeling and imagine what it must feel like. You can try to trigger your own empathy by asking yourself some questions. How would I feel if that happened to me? If I were in the same situation, what would I do? What must it be like to have that job or raise those children?
Bart! Stop fighting with your sister!
She took my glue! It's not yours, Bart! This is family glue!
Stop it, you two!
Empathy is a crucial skill. It's what helps us realize that a child is crying because it hurts or it's hungry. It helps us recognize grief in a friend or fear in a dangerous situation. Lack of empathy is a key marker of a psychopath.
What about the past? Our past?
We never really shared one.
You're inhuman.
No, I'm in touch with humanity. Evelyn, I'm sorry. You're not terribly important to me.
Just a few years ago, in 2012, researchers at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine actually identified the part of the brain responsible for empathy. It's called the anterior insular cortex. It's tucked deep inside our gray matter. So scientists have only been able to study it in the years since the MRI was invented. It's why we feel lust, repulsion, and empathy.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not feeling so hot either.
Why would that make me feel better?
I don't know, empathy?
Empathy is often mistaken for sympathy or for compassion, but those three terms are not interchangeable. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone.
You're the weak one, and you'll never know love or friendship, and I feel sorry for you.
At its worst, sympathy can be pity, but sympathy is really a feeling of sorrow for someone else's pain or tragedy. Empathy is stronger and more intimate than that. Empathy is to feel some of that pain yourself. Not I feel for you, but I feel with you. There's an old Cherokee proverb, don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes.
Dee, if you're gonna walk a mile in my shoes, this is a pretty big part of that mile, don't you think? Now here, put these on.
No, I don't want to wear one of your dirty sleeping outfits.
I'm sorry, Dee, but my outfits, as you like to call them, serve a very specific purpose, all right? This isn't just for fun. I don't have any heating ducts in this apartment. It gets freezing in here at night, all right?
That's empathy. If you take action on that feeling of empathy, or you're compelled to do something to help someone else or prevent them harm, then you're feeling compassion. Empathy could be a momentary feeling of connection with another person. Compassion tends to be deeper, longer-lasting, and more motivating. Therapists will often say empathy leads to compassion. Empathy is an essential component of emotional intelligence. It can be cultivated, nurtured, and grown. You're not born with X amount of empathy. It can increase or decrease over the course of your life. Here are some ways that science has proven can increase empathy. 1. Read a novel. Maybe even a lot of novels.
You found Fanny Price unlikable?
She sounds pretty unbearable, but I haven't read the book.
What?
You don't have to have read a book to have an opinion on it. I haven't read the Bible either.
What Jane Austen novels have you read?
None. I don't read novels. I prefer good literary criticism.
The ability to understand what someone else is going through and to imagine yourself in their position is a valuable skill. Empathy makes you better at understanding other people. It gives you personal insight as well, and it can help you get along with others better and enjoy their company more. We are not psychologists, though. We do have a couple experts, though, to go through the power of empathy. Dr. A.J. Marston is a professor of psychology at Beacon College. Hi there, A.J.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to have you with us. Thanks. And Jehan Exon is a researcher at Georgia Tech's Department of Biological Services. Now, he is here because his team recently published a study that finds empathy can help prevent the spread of disease during an outbreak. Welcome.
Hi.
So for your purposes, in terms of figuring out what effect empathy can have on the spread of contagion, what was your working definition of empathy?
Yeah, so we wanted to understand individual change effect during an epidemic outbreak. And we know that some of the good old habits we have are avoiding symptomatic individuals or covering your mouth if you're infected. Yeah. And the level of empathy we have is the concern you have for others. So the notion we had was, how do you feel if you put yourself in the other person's shoes? As a sick person, what would you want them to do, or what would they want you to do? So you kind of, that was the definition.
That was the definition. And AJ, is that, I mean, without going into specific psychological terms, is that a pretty good working definition, the empathy being the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes?
Yes, that's a great, very simple, straightforward definition of what empathy is.
So what is the less straightforward definition? What kind of more details would you give about the difference, say, between empathy and sympathy and compassion and some of the things that sort of get mixed up when we're thinking about them?
A lot of people do confuse empathy with sympathy, thinking that, oh, I just feel bad for you is empathy, and that's not empathy at all. Empathy is going beyond that and actually feeling those emotions, allowing yourself to feel the emotions that the other person would potentially be feeling. So it's like you said at the beginning, feeling with someone, not just saying, oh, yeah, I feel sorry for you.
And AJ,
so it's going beyond that.
Have you seen some of this research that suggests empathy may be in decline in recent years, say over the past 15 to 20 years?
Yes, I have seen that. I have a couple theories on why that might be happening.
Oh, let's hear them for sure. Is one of them smartphones?
Yes, technology. That's my main theory. It's technology.
So what is the other one besides technology?
Mostly it just, it centers around not spending as much time face-to-face, doing more things in your office or doing more things on your computer, staying at home when, you know, talking on social media instead of actually going out. So it has more to do with less face-to-face interaction, and our society is moving more and more towards interaction that's online, unfortunately.
And that brings us back to you, mm-hmm. because one would think that if there's an outbreak of, say, Ebola or, mm-hmm. or measles or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. that isolating yourself with your technology would be helpful, right? I mean, that would be what you'd assume.
Yeah.
Why is that not true?
Well, what we wanted to understand was, besides technology, is we have a concern for others, but we're a connected. The epidemic spreads over a network of individuals, which means that if people around me are infected, then I have a concern for others. I have a concern for myself, but if I am infected, then I have a concern for others. And how would I reflect that concern is through empathy. So. That's why we call the term empathy.
Oh, so, okay, this goes the other way around. In other words, if I have the measles and I am concerned about giving it to other people, I am more likely to isolate myself or take the steps necessary.
Right, so it goes both ways. That's why we have a mathematical model for understanding, game theoretic model for understanding it, because you need to reason about what others are going to do. If I am infected, I would have to think about what susceptible individuals are doing. If they're protecting themselves some way, then I don't need to be that empathetic. But if susceptible individuals or those that are healthy are not taking any measures and I am the only one that's infected, I'm going to cause a lot of damage on the population. So that shows me a level of concern that I have for others, and I have to reason about that. And that the result of that reasoning leads to that empathetic individuals are more effective in stopping disease outbreak because they tend to stop the disease from the source. Whereas if I am risk-averse as a susceptible person or healthy person during an epidemic, I kind of stop the disease from getting to me only. But healthy, sick individuals have a lot more leverage on stopping the disease.
Right. And then does that also translate to the medical professionals who are fighting the disease as well?
It translates more to the communication campaigns that CDC is running, like these good health habits that I started out with. So who should we target as a way to stop a disease from spreading initially to, or stopping the disease or eradicating the disease, right? So it really ties to who should we target and who should we champion. And what this result is showing that we should really champion sick people showing empathy for others, and it will be crucial.
That's the hero, the person who is sick and yet taking measures to prevent the spread of the disease.
Yep.
All right, so this brings me back to you, AJ, because this research that Jayan Exon has done along with his colleagues at Georgia Tech is new, but we have seen over generations the effects that empathy can have on a society, have we not? Is there not intrinsic value to empathy?
Oh, definitely. There's lots of intrinsic value. I mean, just in general, empathy helps us create these strong connections with other people, and it brings us closer together. So it helps us develop trust among one another, develop friendships, and even develop love among one another. So when our society can kind of rally together and also empathy towards each other, it builds a stronger, better society.
So that sounds like you're saying that empathy is going to help us no matter what the emergency is, whether it be an outbreak or other.
Empathy is really important, but we also have to be careful with empathy. Take nurses, for example. I was a nurse for almost 10 years. And I saw a lot of great nurses who were really empathetic, really amazing nurses, but at the same time, they would go home at night completely exhausted and burned out because they were almost too empathetic, if that makes sense.
And so there's frankly, that happens a lot with journalists as well.
I bet.
During times of stress. So, Jayan, this research is sort of a first step, right? I mean, the next step is to figure out how you...
What to do with that and how to generate
what is
empathy.
For your mind, what is the next step?
For me, it's policy, pointing toward communication campaigns. And so all communication campaigns during epidemics work with limited resources. So a way of targeting, if we know a certain set of people are more infected than others, like a certain set of people are...
How to spend your money wisely.
How to spend it and then spatially and wisely in timely manner. To eradicate the disease. And that's where, and the other thing is forecasting of diseases, which are critical in determining how to spend your money. So we have to account for individual behavior changes during an epidemic to be able to forecast accurately what the disease levels are going to reach instead of throwing money at everything.
And that can be complicated by fear. People remain quiet. They don't report accurately oftentimes because they're afraid. And AJ, what is empathy's relation to fear? Is it the counterpart?
It is the counterpart. I mean, the biggest benefit of empathy is building trust with other people. So once you develop that empathy and you develop trust, you're less likely to, like you said, start lying about things.
So how do we, AJ, how do we foster empathy in people? I know that many people often think that this is sort of an innate quality. There are those who are empathetic and there are those who are not. It doesn't look like science supports that. In other words, we can increase our empathy, can we not?
Yes, we can. It's just like emotional intelligence. Empathy is part of emotional intelligence, and we can develop our emotional intelligence. The first step is to be mindful of your own feelings. Be mindful of what you're thinking about when other people are talking to you. So if someone's telling you a story and you find yourself thinking about, oh, next I got to go do this, and you're not actually paying attention, you're not going to be able to develop empathy towards that person. So step one, actively listen to other people and be mindful of your thoughts. So, and then second, I'd like to say empathy can be developed pretty quickly just by traveling and experiencing new people and new cultures. Put yourself out there and try new things, and that'll help you develop a compassion and empathetic feelings towards other people that are different from you.
So how effective is empathy? I mean, there are lots of different things that can help during an outbreak, right? Mm-hmm. How effective is empathy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it goes along with one of the things we considered was the connectivity, how connected we are, because the disease spreads over contact with other individuals
usually face-to-face contact.
Face-to-face contact. So how connected in that setting with each other matters. And we show that both of these are playing a role, the conjoint effects of network or how connected we are, as well as the empathy play a role. And if you just have risk-averse or healthy individuals, you can't stop the disease, no matter how less connected or connected we are. As long as the disease is going to, if the disease is going to be spread throughout,
right,
we need empathy. That's kind of the necessary condition that we see.
And it's difficult because somebody's initial reaction might be to totally isolate themselves,
right,
thinking that's going to stop the spread of the disease, but you're saying it doesn't.
It doesn't. And I mean, we've seen these changes during pandemics like the H1N1 pandemic, where the polls show that 59% of the people were washing their hands more often. And that's a position taken by usually the healthy people. And then there's 55% were committed to stay home if sick. That was a position taken by sick people. And that's really the key that will stop
that you need both sides.
Yes.
That is Jehan Eksen. He is a researcher at Georgia Tech's Department of Biological Sciences, and his research shows, along with his team, that empathy can help prevent the spread of disease. We also spoke with Dr. A.J. Marsden, who's a professor of psychology at Beacon College. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.